I've had so many variations of my name, you know, like same thing. Like I think growing up in school, like at least when I was in like second or third grade, people may have thought I was like Mexican because my name came right after like Jesus Sanchez or something, you know? And so they kept the J silent and they called me Bahoy Samuel, you know? And I was like, and so, you know, I was called that for a little while from like a teacher of mine. And it was the end of the semester. And then the teacher's like, I corrected him. And then he's like, why didn't you say anything all semester? And I was like, I don't know.
Welcome to the Restoring Our City podcast. We are back with another episode where we have candid conversations on today's topics that help connect our community. And I am joined with my fellow collaborators, Bejoy Samuel and Jessman Thomas. Gentlemen, how's it going?
Collaborators.
It's good.
It's a new one.
Yeah.
It is another one. It is another one. But thank you guys for jumping on. Fun topic to talk about today. We are in the month of May, and all I've been seeing for the past couple weeks has been, you know, that Justin Timberlake meme. It's going to be May, you know, the stupid joke. But it is May, and it's AAPI month, which celebrating Asian Americans and that culture. And it got me thinking to kind of talk about kind of our thoughts on that month, especially us being South Asians. And now there's a month dedicated to celebrating our culture. I wanted to talk about that and see how we feel about it and whether we celebrate or there's things that we do to spread awareness. Like, what do you guys think when you hear AAPI month?
Dude, first, whenever I read it, I'm like, what the heck is Uppie month? And then the second thing I think about after that is, Asia's too big to be put into one continent, right? Like, whenever someone here thinks about Asian, you're immediately thinking East Asian. I don't even think of myself as Asian. You know, when you take the standardized test back in the day and they always had the bubbles of like, what ethnicity are you? I literally didn't know, right? Like, do I put there was one teacher trying to convince me that I should put Caucasian on there, but eventually I'm like, nah, I don't think I'm white, black, or Latino. I probably am in the Asian mix, but what part of Asia, who knows? So I just go to how big we are, and we should probably have another continent just for us. But that's just my two cents here.
Yeah, when I think about AAPI, I don't really associate it with Indian people. Maybe we should, right? But it is like just Justin was saying, like I think about it as a celebration of like the East Asian cultures, you know? And we're just kind of like lumped in there a little bit. And part of me is like, am I okay with that though? Or, you know, and really, I don't know if it's that big of a deal for me. Like, do we need to be called out for a month? You know, I'm not sure. But it's interesting because, you know, I think I was telling you guys before with the Indian people, like, I don't know. We're not as openly like celebratory of like our cultural things as maybe other people. So maybe that's just how like I think about it.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, when we talk about like Indian Independence Day or other cultures that celebrate some things, yes, I've seen some celebrations, but maybe not to the level of other cultures, which I'm not sure is always a great thing. Where, man, I wish we could shut down a street and do a parade, you know, and coordinate some efforts to do that. But yeah, it's interesting. Do we celebrate enough as a culture? Or is it because we're so segmented as just the Indian people?
I think there are people that, like, you know, you think about Holi and like things like that. There are definitely people that celebrate that. In Indian Independence Day, they're, you know, it's on social media. But I don't think that's like a, like everyone, you know, that's not common ground. I think there's just segments, and maybe it's more affiliated with religion than it is with like the culture. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, yeah, we don't really have, like, I celebrate Mexican Independence Day and St. Patty's Day, I think, more than any of the Indian ones, you know?
Yeah, no, that's so true. And even your point, Bejoy, I mean, India is just so large. There's just too many cultures, even within the continent itself. So I could recall celebrating Onam once or twice, you know, but that's so Kerala specific versus, you know, we never really do Holi growing up until after college, where it's like, hey, everyone finds it fun to throw colored powder and celebrate, like, you know, the start of spring. But it is so segmented. I wonder if that's just part of the issue here. It's, we can't even be unified as one country in terms of how and what we celebrate, too.
So celebrating Holi, I did a color run once, and that was like the closest thing I did to celebrating Holi, or just throw some color on you. But yeah, I think you guys are right. There's like a lot of different mixes of culture, traditions that our people group are a part of, and it makes it kind of hard to be unified in celebrating things, because partly a lot of those things are tied to religions that we might not all share that faith, right? Being part of American culture too, sometimes we separate our identities, and maybe we want to be involved in like the American culture, where we kind of want to separate our identity. And maybe it was kind of looked down upon growing up. I think times are a lot different now, where cultures are a lot more accepted. So have you guys ever felt like that growing up, where you wanted to kind of disassociate your identity from like your Indian identity versus American?
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely say that. I think there's just something about being, you know, a minority within a majority culture, and just having a majority friend group that isn't Indian. Growing up, especially through elementary and middle school, I think high school changed a little bit, where there was a little bit more Indian people that were brought into that high school. But I'm just thinking, growing up, some of my experiences, even when you went into a classroom for the first time, right? I remember one teacher one year looking at my name and saying, "Oh, is Hayesween here?" I'm like, "Who the heck is Hayesween?" You know, but just assuming that I was Latino in some senses. But I think it really probably came to, I'd say, a climax around 9/11. I think maybe this is something we can all relate to. I remember after 9/11, my parents specifically put out a massive American flag, you know, in front of our house, just because of the color of your skin. People would assume, hey, you know, like, what side are you on, right? It's like, what are you talking about? What side am I on? I'm on the American side, you know? And just really trying to make it clear that we are, you know, here for this country. We're not even Middle Eastern. We're Indian. But I think that was probably one point that I could clearly recall, you know, remembering and saying, man, it would be so much easier just not to have brown skin in this country at this moment right now.
I remember, you know, our parents, you know, when they came into this country, the Indian work mentality is you just keep your head down and you grind, right? You don't bring any extra attention to yourself. Like, you're here, make some money, make a living, support your family, and down the line, you'll reap the benefits of it, right? They're not walking in any of our, like, I don't think my dad, you know, he worked for the state of Illinois for like 25 years as a social worker. He wasn't in there on Indian Independence Day, like, wrapped with a flag wrapped around him, right? He went into the office, he did his thing, and he
holiday pay.
Exactly, right? Like, that's not a thing. And I think there's something about our culture where we're just like, same thing that's kind of in us a little bit, where it's like, don't draw attention to yourself. Like, yes, we're Indian and we're proud, but we have our cultural groups and our community groups and our friends and our church groups that we can use to celebrate like our Indian identity, right? But anywhere else in the world, just keep a low profile. Like, and I think I sometimes find myself in that kind of a situation too, where, you know, I'm not changing my profile for Indian Independence Day. I don't even know the national anthem by heart, right? Like, right. And when those things come up, like AIPI and stuff like that, I'm not like running around the office, like celebrating it and putting it all over my social. So maybe there's a part where I don't know if it's, I'm not embarrassed. I love our culture and I celebrate it in a lot of ways. Like, we still do like Onam and stuff like that with our families. But what is that break for me of like, why am I not more like outward about my culture than I am?
That's a really great point too, because it's not necessarily that we're ashamed of it. We're just not going out of our way to spread it out to people who might not understand it, because we grew up in a society where they didn't understand it and put us down for it. And it is kind of a weird transition now, especially in today's day and age. So like, Justin, you kind of mentioned it a little bit, like, I was thinking about this question, what parts of our culture are we ashamed of and maybe helped us limit being very vocal about it? I think you touched on your name. I think that's a really interesting one, which maybe a lot of us can relate to, where our names, just looking at our little participant panel here, I mean, Jobin, Bejoy, and Jesswin, how many non-Indian people with that name do you know? Probably not many, right? So names are a huge piece that I think it's kind of hard to have commonplace in American culture, and probably stuff that we've been teased about. So I've heard Jesswin, but that's mind-boggling to me that somebody would call you that. Bejoy, you got to lay it on me. What if people called you?
I mean, listen, I think we did a podcast about this maybe, but I've had so many variations of my name, you know, like same thing. Like I think growing up in school, like at least when I was in like second or third grade, people may have thought I was like Mexican because my name came right after like Jesus Sanchez or something, you know? And so they kept the J silent and they called me Bejoy Samuel, you know? And I was called that for a little while from like a teacher of mine. And it was the end of the semester. And then the teacher's like, I corrected him. And then he's like, why didn't you say anything all semester? And I was like, I don't know. Like, once you raise your hand that first time, that's it. You're stuck. Like,
game over.
There's no correcting it at that point, you know? But
that's interesting.
Yeah.
You never corrected them and they just kept calling you
Bejoy? I didn't correct him. Like, yeah, it was like second or third grade. Like, so I didn't correct him until the very end of the class. And the guy's like, why didn't you just tell me that? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, once you don't correct someone on your name the first time they say it,
yeah, it's, then you just feel awkward.
Yeah, then you feel awkward like correcting it any other time. But even now to this day, I feel like my name gets butchered. You know, either people try to get too creative with it, you know, because it's foreign, so they want to make it extra foreign, you know?
Right.
But it's just like, it's just
how?
Bejoy, right?
Right. How do you right. make that extra foreign?
So I get some of those even now.
Yeah, that's funny. I think with names too, and maybe even culturally, we're afraid to stand up for ourselves and maybe be as assertive. And I think that's kind of a stereotype with South Asian culture. But yeah, names, that's one thing that we might be ashamed of, or even some of the food, right? Like people, it's like a running joke sometimes with Indian food. And, you know, maybe even like if you had to bring your lunch to school and it was whatever your mom made, some chapati and some chicken curry. How are you supposed to bring that to school in a brown paper bag? Kind of difficult to do that. But I think as we've grown older, you know, man, some of that stuff you really hold near and dear to your heart, right? Like you go to your parents' house or they're making a hot cup of chai and it's like, wow, nobody makes it like my mom, right? So that's really cool. But then how have we actually adapted? Because I think there is some value to that, to adapt to American culture. So especially in this month, if we're supposed to be celebrating, yeah, there's some really, really great things about our culture, but how have we adapted to American culture and then maybe separated our Indian identity?
I'm trying to think of a specific example, but at least in more general terms, I think that term is code switching, right? Where you're able to speak in one code in one culture and then be able to switch to a completely different code in a different culture. So usually, at least I feel like I'm more approachable. So I have a lot of white and black friends that are not afraid to just ask me flat out, hey, what, like, how do you say this IT person's name? Or it's always like, what should I order from this menu? And I'm like, hey, I got you, right? Like we can adapt. We can learn a little bit here. So I've never taken offense to those questions, but code switching is what came to mind in terms of that adaptability.
I was in an Uber with a coworker of mine, and he's Caucasian, and the Uber driver was an Indian guy, and immediately, right, and you could tell he probably came here within the last like maybe 5-10 years or something, and he asked me immediately, are you Indian, you know, with the accent and everything, and where in India are you from and all that. And I don't know what it is. I was like sitting there in that moment and I was just so like, I did not want to engage in that conversation. I didn't want to talk about it, you know? And it was because I had my coworker in the car, right? And I wondered if I was by myself, would I have engaged him a little bit more? But I started thinking like, this guy came from another country. Like he's trying to survive here just like our parents did or whatever. And he saw me as an Indian person climbing into the car and thought there might be a little bond there, right? Something to make him maybe feel like, okay, he's not alone, right? And here I am all of a sudden this like bougie Indian born and raised in America that didn't even want to like engage in conversations about where my parents are from, what language I spoke, because of this, like, I don't know if it was embarrassment or what, right? But I started to think about that. I'm like, am I separating like American culture or Indian culture from me? Like, am I embarrassed about our culture? Is, I don't know what it is, right? Because if you think about any other culture, they probably would have engaged in some deep conversations about stuff like that. But I don't know. I shied away from it. And I immediately was like, oh, I don't want to have this conversation. Why is he asking me these questions? You know?
It's like when you're passing by somebody in the grocery store, you know, if you see an Indian person, they're going to lock eyes with you until you acknowledge them, right? Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question. I don't know what it is. And maybe now as we become more accepting of cultures and some of the things maybe that our parents' generation had to face that we probably don't have to deal with as much anymore, will make us a little bit more open in sharing our culture. And I think one of the bigger questions that as we started to talk about this topic and thinking about how people celebrate cultures, especially during this month, is what is our responsibility in that, right? Because there are so many people here in America, it's so unique because it's such a melting pot. We've got a wide range of people and ethnic groups within our communities or in our neighborhoods and our workplaces. What's our responsibility with that? Because there are certain people that can connect with you that other people can't, right? And people just feel comfortable connecting with you. It could be complete strangers. So question is, what's our responsibility to our fellow South Asians, especially when it comes to even church?
Yeah, I mean, I like how you said sort of comfortable, or there's things that you can relate to that no one else can relate with, Job. And I think that's so true, right? Like, I don't have to go to another Indian person's house and be like, hey, I've never been camping in my life, right? Like, just something that we never did growing up. Or it's not weird if I see another Indian person and after the first conversation, immediately invite them over and be like, hey, come through, we'll grab something, you know, come over to my parents' house. Who knows what that conversation could look like? There is definitely something that is comfortable about not having to explain these nuances that no one else will get. And what's interesting, and to your second question there, Jobin, in terms of what's our responsibility even spiritually, it's interesting that the Bible says that one day every tribe, tongue, and nation will be gathered there before Christ. And it's interesting to think that God uniquely made me with my ethnic identity, which in some component might still exist eternally, right? And the question is like, oh, I really don't think about that enough. And maybe I should, because I can leverage these things of, hey, being comfortable with another Indian person, not having to explain these nuances for the gospel. And I don't often do that. And I should be thinking about that.
I think, you know, there is a place for cultural churches and ministries. Right. Even though, you know, heaven's going to be a big melting pot, I think while we're here on earth, there is a need for cultural churches, you know, and especially like South Asian, because I think about this Uber driver, right? It's amazing how many lessons God teaches you in just like a single moment, right? But if I were to engage with him in a conversation, right? This guy came from India. My guess is he was Hindu in his religious beliefs, even though he's from Kerala. Regardless of who was in the car that day, right? If I had all of my coworkers or whatever, if I engaged with him and talked to him and got to know him a little bit in that little bit of car ride, how could I have encouraged him? How could I have shown Christ to him? How could I have, you know? And I think there's a deep, deep heart issue there. If when I think about how open I am about even my own faith in Christ and how celebratory I am about our culture, if those things were combined and I embraced those things and were more vocal about the combination of that, how many lives could we change in our community, right? Because we're bringing the Indian part of it and we're bringing the Christian part of it. And we're not afraid to vocalize either. And we could encourage people in any moment that find that common ground with us. But, you know, just like that Uber driver, like, I don't know, I dismissed it. And I wondered if I could have, if something different could have happened in that car that night, that could have like that God could have used to change the trajectory, you know, of a guy who probably felt alone or, you know, was grinding in this new country and just needed to feel some encouragement and connection to somebody. And he saw my name and my brown skin, you know, dark brown skin. And, you know, and was just like felt safe.
You know, I think it's a really interesting point, but it also brings up a question. And I'm not going to put words in your guys' mouth, but I do want to just make some clarity. We're not saying that all churches should be ethnic centric, right? And only target specific cultures, right? And only be built that way. But there is some value for us as people with the identity that we have to reach out more easily where other cultures can't reach people, right? And I think we're probably all on the same page there too, right? Because there are Indian churches that I think all of us have grew up in, but at the same time, we might be part of mixed churches now, which it might be harder for people, especially immigrants coming here to this country for the first time, to really get connected with. Should we have some of those ethnic churches? It sounds like, Bajoy, you said, yeah, let's have those ethnic churches because they provide a lot of value.
Yeah, I would actually second Bajoy and say absolutely. You know, and to that point, I think multi-ethnic churches has become almost like a corporate buzzword within our own generation. And I think there's so many of us that left an ethno-specific church, and maybe it's some of our hard-heartedness, or maybe it's just our perception to say, hey, I will never go back to a church like that. And we see all these problems, and rightfully so, right? Like, there are definitely issues that we have seen growing up. But on that same token, you know, I think the right way to kind of think about multi-ethnicity, and this is something that I recall hearing somewhere, is, you know, you don't need every single church to be this multi-ethnic church. But hopefully, if you have an Indian church, a Hispanic church, a Black church, a White church, is all those churches being effective within those ethnic groups in a particular location, mirroring the multi-ethnicity of that locale? I think is a second way to really think about multi-ethnicity. It's not, you know, a local church in particular, but maybe it's that universal church in a specific locale that can really model that. And I think a second thing I just wanted to touch on this too, and Bajoy, you kind of brought this up. Our parents' mentality when they came to this country in terms of working is, hey, keep your head down and just keep going, right? Like, you'll reap the benefits one day. I wonder if we have sort of taken that mentality and kind of made it the same thing with our faith, right? Like, keep your head down. You don't have to talk about it that much and keep going, especially when we talk about Indian people in specific, right? I have a lot of friends that are Hindu, Muslim, and anything else. I don't feel like I really talk about faith with them in, you know, a very deep and meaningful way as often as I should. And when we really think about the Indian population in general, one, we're the most populous country on earth at this point. I think we just overtook China. Number two, we have the largest diaspora in the world. There are, I think, more Indians living outside of India than there are Australians in Australia, is one way to consider that stat. We make up 1 in 5 people on the face of the globe, yet only 2-3% of us are Christian. Right. If we think about heaven, right, think about the universal church, and not even the universal church, the entire global population. If we're just going to say 1 in 5 people are Indian, not 1 in 5 people at this moment in heaven are Indian. And that fact alone, you have to think about, you know, God, did you make me who I am for a specific reason? Because this harvest is so plentiful, but even me as a laborer right now is not engaged with this. And what is my responsibility in that? I don't know, but that's something I've been marinating on. I don't know if you guys have thoughts on that.
I mean, it wouldn't be a good podcast if we didn't have Jesswin spitting out a statistical analysis. I mean, that's pretty mind-blowing, that statistic, because I think when we kind of started talking about, hey, what are we ashamed of with our culture? What are we ashamed about with our faith? And especially if it's our faith that can really change the hearts and minds of people, and not just us, right? But it's obviously the gospel working through them. But like, uniquely, we have an identity that makes it very approachable to certain groups of people in this country. And we limit that. And then you compound that with our faith and not being super bold to share faith. Man, that that is a recipe for disaster for people just to not get connected and then allow other people to be feeling isolated, right? So how do we do that in a culture like today where it's like we want to make sure we have a very diverse church, but we're not really singling people out? But like, how do we still have a focus for our people?
Going to the same point, it's not to say that mixed churches are like, we need that, but also, like, to Justin's point, we were designed to be a part of the Indian community. That's how God, like, there's so much diversity for God obviously had a very specific reason and purpose for having all of these different ethnic groups, right? And when you think about the ministry of it, yes, there is something different with having those ethnic churches. I think there's a purpose and a place for it, right? It doesn't mean that every church needs to just be isolated in its own thing, but there's a place for it. Like, you know, even in Devon, which for a lot of our listeners not from Chicago, it's like the India Street, like Little India, you know? But how many churches are planted there, right? If we have a heart for Indian people, right, then there should be ministries happening a lot more just in that street alone, you know? So I don't know. It's really tough because you want the multi-ethnicity, but even the multi-ethnic churches are still, they still have individual groups and community groups that are ethnic.
Yep. Yeah, but yep. To your point, Bijoy, right? I think that really speaks to, you know, how much in a bubble are we when it comes to church, right? Do we only know about our church in particular? What's the programs of our church, our small group? And we're so focused on just our local church. I mean, in some senses, that's great. Great that you're at least committed to your local church. But I hope churches have partnerships to know what's going on with other churches. How could we support, you know, the churches in our locale? How can we together picture the universal body, right? Like, even if we go back to the Bible, you know, some of the places where Paul planted churches, like, hey, I'm glad that you guys are still concerned about what's going on in Jerusalem, right? I'm glad that y'all still sent money to support that church over there. Why? Because they knew what was going on. They knew the need. And they said, hey, we're going to partner and we're going to, you know, fit this need. So that's, I think, one way we can think about, you know, how do we do that as a church? To your second question, Jobin, what do you say to the person that has sort of their head down? What do you say to them? Someone said this once, and it's always been in my mind, right? I think if we think about the Indian community and our sort of prominence sort of in the world, right? We have world leaders at this point. We have prime ministers of England. We have mayors of London. We have politicians in this country. We're the head of, you know, Google and in Microsoft. We're all these places. Yet, when it comes to, like, spiritually, you know, where are we? We're kind of like off the map in terms of our prominence there. And someone said this, and it's never really left my mind. It's, you know, the greatest Indian pastors, evangelists, theologians have yet to be reached, right? And that person that has yet to be reached could be someone that you know, right? Imagine what God can do for an entire generation, an entire people group, if just that one. Think about a Billy Graham, right? It just took one person to make such an incredible impact. And that one person that has yet to make that impact, that has yet to be reached, could be that one person that you know, right? Do you plant the seed? Do you actually have that conversation? Do you actually step out and say, God, I will have that conversation? And who knows what that does? Not just for you, not just for them, but for the entire community. So yeah. I think that's one way to think about it.
If we look at every single person, not just to say, hey, because it's AAPI month, let's go target some Indian people and pass out some tracts, right? It's treating everybody as they're your neighbor, right? Love thy neighbor as thyself. And it's got to be something that we're aware of, that we have this unique creation and design in us that could be very, I don't know, attractive to people that have come from the same place that we've come from and that they can connect with easily. It happened today where I went to church. We went to lunch with a group of people. I go to a multi-ethnic church and it's a brand new church. I don't know a lot of people, but I've met some people along the way. Guess who are the first people that I've met, right? South Asian Indian people. And I went to lunch with a great group of people today. And of course, they're like, do you know this person? Have you ever lived in this state? Okay, you lived in New York for 1 year. Great. Do you know so-and-so? And guess what? We know a lot of the same people. Mm-hmm. It's mind-boggling, right? And it was funny because we had one couple who was a Pakistani. And when we were starting to talk about some things, I was like, oh, you're from this area. Do you know this person? And they're like, no, they're not Malayali. So they wouldn't know. And I was just like, oh, that's hilarious. But it's at the same time, we were all kind of laughing about it. But it's interesting. There is this weird bond with people that we, where we come from, and that you'll have that connection with. But that doesn't stop us from all eating together at the same table and having fellowship and saying, hey, we are part of one church and one part of one body. So I think it's just being aware that every interaction that we have from now on is that's my neighbor, and I should be able to love them and connect with them and reach out to them, and being hyper aware of our cultural identity to know that there is value and strength within us that allow us to connect with other people, right?
You know, it's interesting, even for us being like second generation, we go to a multi-ethnic church, but I bet you that our default people that we go to, like our friends when we have in need, are Indian friends that we grew up with, right? So we can be in small group and we can have community and share meals with all the multi-ethnic people. But our default, I feel like our core of the people that we rely on or anything is Indian people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is. Who are you going to call to pick you up from the airport? Nah, I don't know. Right? Or move or do some of these things. And
watch
there are
kids like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy that there's some intrinsic value in our cultural identity that I think we have to be aware of and actually leverage in connecting others and connecting with our community. And sometimes we don't do that well enough. And I hope that, you know, as our listeners are hearing this, or even just this is kind of just convicting to myself, like, man, I should reach out to those people, not be ashamed of, oh, there's an Indian person at the grocery store and they were following me the whole entire way. Should probably say hi or connect, right? You never know what a conversation will do for someone. Well, thank you guys. I know we are celebrating AAPI month. We're probably not shutting down any city blocks anytime soon, but I think it is a really cool way to celebrate our culture and understand all the history and long way that our culture has come in this country. It is no joke. It's not that long ago where, you know, our parents had to endure, some of us had to endure. It is really changing, I hope, for the better. And something that our kids, especially growing up in this country, can understand, you know, the heritage. So thank you guys for an enlightening conversation and a challenging one to what we could do to reach out to our fellow brothers and sisters. So until next time, until next May, and we celebrate the next month.
All right, guys. We need a good tagline.
We do need a tagline for AAPI month, or just
submit your thoughts, guys.
Yes, we'll make t-shirts. All right. Cool. All right, guys, we'll talk soon.